Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, Thursday night, February, Thursday night, February 9th, 2017. Yes, you are again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. And I am the executive director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. We are coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan. And yes, we come to you live each Thursday night and each Saturday night at the same time from 8 to 9 p.m. over this same platform. And for this, we are glorifying God on tonight. We give God the glory for this platform because we know that it is of his doing that he has done this. And we're just vessels being used by him on tonight again. So we're going to do as we always do. We always open up in prayer. And I'm asking all listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come once again to give your name praise. We come to give you glory. We come to say thank you, Heavenly Father, because of who you are. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because you change not. You cannot fail. Heavenly Father, you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy towards each one of us. We know that we're not worthy. We don't deserve it. Because of your agape love toward us, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are still here. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, even more for the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, Jesus Christ. We thank you for him, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the shed blood that he shed through his own body, that we can be redeemed back to you, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, on tonight. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would move by your Spirit and through us on tonight. But before we go forward with any other petitions, Heavenly Father, I pray and ask that you would forgive me, Heavenly Father, for all my sins and all my transgressions, and not only me, but my entire family members, and also my guests on tonight, Pastor Mike and his family. And forgive us of all of our sins and all those that have been doers of your word on tonight, Heavenly Father. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our prayers and that our words that you use through us on tonight will not be hindered, that they will go forth with power, that those that are listening on tonight that may not be saved in Jesus' name on tonight, after hearing the word, they will be able to open their mouth and say they were once blind, but now, after hearing the word on tonight, they can say that they now see, and they will be able to open their own mouth and confess and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts, whereby they can be saved in his name on tonight. And then after being saved, they will come to know their God purpose, and then they will walk in their God purpose, and they will live in their God purpose, and they will fulfill their God purpose in the earth, Heavenly Father, for your glory is our prayer on tonight in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to move by your Spirit, continue to comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved, comfort them, and let them know continuously, Heavenly Father, that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal in Jesus' name. Continue to touch and heal and strengthen those that are sick in their minds, spirits, and bodies on tonight. We don't have to send you anywhere, Heavenly Father, because you're everywhere at the same time. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient. You're everywhere at the same time. So you already know where they are, and you know how to meet the needs of your people. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace again, your mercy. Thank you for being who you are on tonight. And we just pray, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit over the airways on tonight. Our coming forth on tonight will not be in vain, but that you will be glorified through it all is our prayer, and that you will continue to bless the listeners, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought, as we always do. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us, and it says to us, faith testing times can also be faith strengthening times. And that is true. Once again, our spiritual food for thought for tonight is faith testing times can also be faith strengthening times. That is our spiritual food for tonight. So on tonight, I am so pleased to have my special guest coming forth in a few minutes. He's going to bring the word on tonight, and I'm so excited to have him come forth and bring the word on tonight. But I'm going to ask, before I bring him on, I'm going to ask all my listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants ambassadors vessels. Please go there, and then once you get there, please click on follow. Again, I'm asking all my listeners, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants ambassadors vessels and then click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Again, I welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I want you all to know, again, as a reminder, as in a form of announcement, please be reminded the Lord has placed in my spirit, and I'm going to be doing it as I have already started doing. As the Lord give me the word to say and do so, I am going to be opening up the phone lines for my listeners to call in. I want you all to get more involved in this platform because it's a ministry, and God gets his glory through our testimonies. And so I'm going to open up the phone lines for all worldwide listeners to call in and share your testimonies. God gets his glory through our testimonies, and our testimonies can be a blessing to others, those that may be weak in their faith or maybe new babes in Christ that do not know how powerful our testimonies are because they are real. And we know that if God had not intervened in our situation or our case, we would not have came through. And so we share our testimonies to let others know that if God healed you, if he delivered you from anything or your children, or if he blessed you with something, or if he done anything for you that you could not have done for yourself, That is a testimony. And God gets his glory through our testimonies. So I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit by giving you, my listeners, a chance to call in and share your testimonies as well. Again, God gets his glory through our testimonies. Others can be blessed by your testimonies. They will know that if God did it for you, that same God, he can do it for them as well. And you will be blessed by sharing your testimony. So you need to dial, when I say the phone lines are open for listeners, you need to dial area code 657-383-1364. Again, you need to dial area code 657-383-1364 when I open up the phone line for listeners to call in and share your testimonies. Do not miss your blessing by failing to call in and share your testimony, whereby God can be glorified through your testimony. Well, on tonight, I'm excited again, as I once said. We have my special guest on tonight coming forth in the person of internet radio host, Pastor Mike. He's the Dean of Word of Trinity Ministries Bible College and Institute, and he has his PhD in Bible and Christian education, and he is from Broomfield, Colorado. In the person of Pastor Mike, he will be sharing with us the Word of God on tonight. And so, as I always ask all my listeners, please get your Bibles and your pens out, because you're going to need to take notes as he comes forth and bring the Word and share the good news of Jesus Christ with us on tonight. I do not want to take you all to take anything that we say, that I say, or any of my guests as they come forth by bringing the Word. I don't want you to take it lightly or to think that we're making up these things. We want you to be able to read it for yourself and follow along with the Word, and then take notes so that after you hear the Word on tonight, you can go back over your notes through the weekend and you can meditate on the Word and get even new revelation through the Word from tonight's message. So get your pens and paper, get ready to take notes as the man of God, get ready to come forth and bring the Word of God on tonight. In the person of Pastor Mike from Broomfield, Colorado, he's going to be bringing forth the Word in a few moments. But first, Pastor Mike, I'd first like to say welcome to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. Welcome, Pastor Mike.
Well, thank you, Pastor Brown. What a privilege to be on your radio show. And truly, I've been looking forward to this moment, and that moment has finally arrived. Again, I'm so excited to present the Word of God, to glorify Him, and also knowing that about your wonderful ministry, how it's been reaching all over the world, and what a blessing to be some form of an asset to your program. Once again, I'm looking forward to it.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. That is Pastor Mike. He's going to be bringing forth the Word. Pastor Mike, if you don't mind, could you please share with the worldwide listeners, as I always ask all my guests before they bring the Word, is to share a testimony with the worldwide listeners. If you could do so at this time, if you could share a testimony with us first, and then after your testimony, I'm going to do a music break, and then following the music break, I'm going to come back to you, and I'm going to yield the mic to you so you can deliver God's Word. But first, would you please share with us a testimony, please?
Definitely, Pastor Brown. Before I joined the God's crew, God's work, and as a pastor, also associate pastor, also as dean of the Northside Baptist Institute, I was by profession, I was a registered pharmacist, very hardworking pharmacist, and I had somewhat business tax know-how, I should say, and I managed to get a loan, and I, knowing my own personality, I didn't want to work for anyone, so I started a small an apothecary, which is similar to English chemist shop. I did not believe in commercial trading and front item like chains do. So I started that small apothecary shop, not realizing that, of course, the year was around 1979. So during that time, you all probably remember Reaganomic and real estate crash and so on and so forth. People believed in one-stop shopping, so stopping by King Super or any other chain was very popular to drop your prescription, do your laundry, dry cleaning, buy your groceries, and so on. So pretty much I was pushed out. So because of that, I invested quite a bit in that. So that was a really big blow. And of course, hardship always is known that either make you better or bitter. To some point, I was so disappointed. I was bitter. And these are the moments that God, by His providence, works things out to draw your attention. For the first time, I wasn't an atheist. I believe in God. But again, my mentality was almost like Paul before he came to Christ. He believed that there is one God and He's monotheistic. And of course, we know what he told the rest of the Israelites in Romans 10, verse 1 to 4, that how he's longing for his brethren to receive Christ because they have a formal knowledge of God, but not they have a zeal, I should say, for God, but not according to knowledge. I'm just paraphrasing it and telling him that at one time he himself thought being monotheistic is sufficient and so on. Of course, we know today there are some religions that they claim to be monotheistic, but to make a long story short, I started looking for God. Things were so bad. I could not even write a paycheck for myself. Bills were piling up. The expenses was piling up from my own household and my drugstore. One Sunday morning, I started driving around, just wondering, what's going on, Lord? I know there is a God, but which God? Which what? And I came across so many different buildings, huge churches. At that time, I could hardly tell the difference between Lutheran, Methodist, or Baptist. And somehow, a small barn-shaped looking building drew my attention. For some reason, I didn't stop by those huge building churches with huge, shiny manicure lawns and so on. But I went to that church. It turned out to be Broomfield Baptist Church, an independent fundamental Baptist church. And I just sat way back, didn't want to talk to anyone. And I drew attention. I'm so close to the door, so I could just walk out. So first time I went, matter of fact, the regular pastor wasn't there. They had some evangelist from Texas. He was preaching, and I'm sitting there. Everything that this man of God said seemed like he was speaking to me, and I could not believe it. And tears were running down on my cheek, and I said, "What is this? I never been in that state before." But before even the service was over, I just walked out and just bewildered, what's going on and why am I feeling that way? And believe it or not, I didn't tell anybody what happened, not even my wife. But at the same time, I could not wait to go back next week, and here I went again. Next week I went back, and the same man was preaching, and as you know or you heard of Baptists, they always give invitation, and the man started calling people to come forward, and I wasn't really sure what he was saying then. I got up and went forward. I could not believe it. And two deacons came forward, asked me, what do you want, why you came? I said, I really don't know. I saw other people coming. I'm coming. I don't know. I really didn't know. And here is the thing. The man presented to me for the first time, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, do you believe that? I said, I really don't know. I mean, I don't know. I truly didn't know, but at the same time, it was something taking place within my heart and within my body that I was almost shaking. At that time, I was around 46 years of age, believe it or not. And I said, whatever he's saying, I believe. I believe. I don't know what exactly it is all about. Then they went through the scripture, Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of glory of God. Romans 6, verse 26, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way, sir. I said, I thought I heard there are so many roads to God. They said, no. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. You need to believe that, sir, if you want to be saved. And I didn't even know what the word save means. I said, whatever you're saying, I believe it. Whatever you say. Sounds good. I feel better already. Sounds good. Believe it or not, Pastor Brown, I came out of that church that day for the first time in my life. I could hear the birds are singing. And the weight was lifted off of my shoulder, and then they told me I need to come back to be baptized, which I did. When I went back, the original pastor was there, so I got baptized, and the rest is, I dropped everything. I quit my job after a few years, a couple years or so. I went to seminary school, got double master in Christian education and Bible, and then toward my PhD, and I started teaching, believe it or not, 6 months after I came to Christ, I started teaching Sunday school. They asked me. I didn't even ask anybody. And I moved to two, three different Baptist churches, and I was there for a month or two. Pastor approached me to teach, and I did. I knew God is calling me to ministry, and the rest is the history. And may the Lord bless you, brother, for allowing me to give you my testimonies.
Wow, and what a testimony that is. Ooh-wee, what a testimony that is. See, God knows where to send you. God sent you there.
Yes,
you
sir.
Did not
yes,
even
sir.
Know why you was going there, but the Holy Spirit led and guided you. That's when you know that when you're led and guided by the Holy Spirit, that's what he does. And he sent
I
you for
no
that
doubt.
Reason, because he knew he had a
yep.
word in you that he was going to use you as a vessel to be teaching and preaching his word. And so you came to Christ. You accepted Jesus Christ in that church, that building. But so you are the church. We are the church, those that are born and believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are
Amen.
The church. So we just thank God for the building that we go praise and worship him as a corporate body. But we are the church. But thank God that he sent you there for a purpose.
Yes,
and you are now, you're still to this day, even that was way back then. But look at today. He's still using you. You're still fulfilling that same purpose, preaching and teaching God's word. So that was a powerful testimony on tonight, Pastor Mike. And I thank you for sharing that testimony with us. I was blessed by hearing it, and I know that the listeners were blessed as well by hearing your powerful testimony. So that's why I have all my guests share testimonies, because people need to know that if God did it for
yes.
you, and he wanted to use some of the other vessel that's listening to on tonight, it may be a young person. It may be someone that's older that don't even know what the God purpose is, but he have a word in you that he wanted to use you as a vessel to bring his mouthpiece. And his ambassador. And so after hearing this testimony tonight, you know all you have to do is open your mouth and ask the Lord to reveal to you what his purpose is for your life, because he wants you to know what it is, because he wants you to fulfill it. That's why you're here in the earth, to glorify God. And so we thank you, Pastor Mike, for that powerful testimony on tonight. Well, right at this
thank
time,
you.
We're going to go to a music break. And we are in a season right now, and I've been playing this song for the last few weeks. And as the Lord leads me, because of the critical times that we're living in, I feel necessary that we're going to continue to play this song for a couple more weeks. And I'm just going to stay in focus and tune with the Holy Spirit, because even though we know who's in the White House, we know that God is still in control. We know that no matter what man may say, what man may see, may think, or man may do, or what the news may report, we know that God is always in control, and we are our brother's keeper, and we are to be praying for our president. We are to be praying for our world leaders. We are to be praying for our pastors and our shepherds that watch over our souls. So because of that, I'm going to pray, and And it's, I played it before, and I'm going to play it again on tonight. We need to be continually always doing this, and that simply is pray one for another. Listen to this.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, it's praying time. It is time out for playing. It is sure enough praying time because the handwriting is on the wall. Jesus Christ is soon to come again, whether people believe it or not. Jesus Christ is soon to come again. So we are to be watching as well as praying on tonight. So we are to be praying one ye for another. So it is now time for the word on tonight. And so following the message on tonight, I am going to give Pastor Mike a chance to announce to the listeners how he can be reached after he concludes the message tonight, because he have a few other worldwide ministries that he is over the overseer of. And I need you all, I would like for you all to take your notes and take this information down, because he's a powerful man of God, and he's going to be bringing forth the word in a few moments. But he's going to, he has other ministries that he is in charge of, that he brings forth the word of over other internet ministries, worldwide ministries. So I'm going to give him a chance to let you all know how he can be tuned in for those other ministries that he's involved in after he concludes with the message on tonight. But right now, Pastor Mike, I am yielding the mic to you to deliver God's word on tonight. The mic is yours, Pastor Mike.
Okay, brother, what a privilege. God bless you, and welcome to all your listeners. I would like them, everyone listening within the sound of my voice, I'll be praying shortly, a short prayer. But for now, if you would turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, I've titled this particular message, How to Resist Satanic Strongholds in Our Lives, in Your Lives, My Lives. And this particular message came to my attention just shortly. I worked on it for quite a bit, just taking off and adding more to it and research it. What a blessing. Once again, God, by His providence, knew that I needed this myself more than anybody else. And anyone that listening tonight, I assure you, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not by accident, by His providence. We have tuned in. And as you turn to Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32, let me say that this particular topic is of so, because of its enormity, because of its gravity, is so much even affected Paul himself, the Apostle Paul, that in numerous places in the Bible alludes to this situation, the satanic activity, which is real. Satan is real as days following nights, nights following days. We know that he's been called the red dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, and we know what he did to Eve. He was the very first evangelist. To this day, he's going around making converts. His first convert was Eve, we know that. But Paul himself was plagued. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he alludes to the fact that concerning the thorn in his flesh, he said that a messenger of Satan to buffet me. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, he said, we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So he knew himself that Satan dogging him night and day, and Satan has no business in bars. He already has them, has no business in street corners. He's active in believers' lives. The more you do for the Lord, the more he tries to slow you down and buffet you. Another place he alluded to this fact comes from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, when he said that, 3 and 4, I should say, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. So we see here how Paul back and forth alluding to this fact, and we not exception. And the more you do for the Lord, as I pointed out, the more he tries to slow you down. I haven't had headaches for almost a year. I never, just even when I catch cold. But today, for some reason, I've been having headaches all morning, all day. Now, that should tell you something right there. But again, God is overpowering him and allowing me to speak out as well as I could. So by now, I'm hoping you are there by now. Ephesians 4, verse 29 through 32. Let me go and read the text for you first, and then I pray. Then I'll elaborate on those verses to show you how real Satan is. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Pay close attention to verse 30. I have so much to say about this. That's the whole point of this. The gist of this message revolves around that particular verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto day of redemption. Let all bitterness, Also, this verse is profound. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven us. Let me go ahead back. Did you notice verse 31? Let me read this over again. Satan's job is a divider. The name Satan means slanderer. Satan is the one that brings anger, division, heartaches. You remember the lunatic from Book of Mark chapter 5, demon-possessed. Satan is able to steal your sanity, your liberty, your family, your joy, your health, even your eternal life. Yes, yes, Satan is powerful because he acts, he operates the opposite against of the truth. Christ is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Christ is the truth, as I alluded here, and we know that. But Satan is a divider. Let me go back and elaborate on that particular verse I promised you earlier, verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4. Matter of fact, let me say more about the truth, about who Christ is. Book of John 17, verse 17, he's called the Word. And John 16, verse 13, he's the Spirit of Truth. So Christ is that, but at the same time, Satan is the divider, as I pointed out. He's a liar. He creates anger. He steals your joy, as I mentioned regarding that lunatic from Book of Luke chapter 5. In John 10 verse 10 we read that Satan alluded to as thief, where we read that from John 10 verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See the contrast between Satan, who steals, he kills, he destroys. But going back to verse I promised you regarding not quenching the Holy Spirit, not grieving, would you believe the word grieve from Greek is lupete, taken from the word lupe, which normally the word lupe normally been used to picture a husband or wife who has discovered his or her mate has been unfaithful. This word never been used for any other purpose except to grieve the Holy Spirit and to be used between husband and wife when one of them has been unfaithful to another. Can you believe that? What this verse is saying, what Paul is saying in this particular verse, where he said that grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What Paul is saying, when we do this, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, it would be almost as a man finds out that his wife been unfaithful to him. Never, no other places this word been used as such. Except here, related to regarding the Holy Spirit and regarding to husband and wife. So let me read this once again. Again, the lupe, the Greek word, alluding to when a wife or a husband discover that his or her mate has been unfaithful as a result of this unfaithfulness. The betrayed spouse is shocked, devastated, hurt, wounded, grieved because of the pain that accompanies unfaithfulness. That's how the Holy Spirit feels when we grieve Him, when we allow Satan to have room in our heart, even a small corner, and because of our temper, because of our malice, because of our bitterness, because of our clamor, which means shouting, because of evil speaking, which leads, clamor leads to evil speaking, malice, which means grabbing the other person, even to choke him, kill him, and say the everything that come out of your mouth about it. Satan loves that. He's saying that when we do this, Holy Spirit flees from us. By no means we are going to lose our salvation, because the scripture is very clear that when we truly receive Christ, a true believer never loses his salvation. Because Ephesians 1 verse 13, Ephesians 4, 3 verse 30, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22, every one of those verses is telling us that when we come to Christ, we are being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Ephesians 3 verse 20 tells us that, I think it's 4 verse 20, I think I've copied it down wrong. Check me out. Ephesians 4 verse 30 alludes to the fact that when we come to Christ, we are being sealed till the day of redemption. When is that? Either God takes us up or the trumpet sound we go up. We are being sealed by his power. Also, we know that although we grieve the Holy Spirit, that's why he's weeping, but we never lose our salvation, though, a true believer. According to John 10, verse 27 through 30, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me," and then he says something profound, "And I will give them eternal life." How long is eternal life? Forever. "And no one could pluck him out of my hand." Matter of fact, verse 30 repeats this by saying that no one could pluck him out of my Father's hand. In other words, even if I miss it, which is impossible, my Father won't let you. So we are being sealed by his power. Romans 8, verse 35 through 39, it says that, points out that nothing would separate us from God's love. So we know that, but at the same time, because of unfaithfulness to him, he's been grieved. And our prayer not being answered, we are constantly probably in a state of sickness of some form, and we're wondering where it's coming from. I assure you, consider those things I pointed out that Paul mentions in verse 30 and 31 regarding the bitterness, malice, clamor, evil speaking. And do your best. I'll give you, in my outline, I'll be pointing out how step by step we could eliminate this. By no means, and I mean no means, man in his own power could remove Satan from when one started residing in your heart. He would laugh at you if you try to tell him to leave you. The only way we could do it, through repentance and by his blood, which I'll be explaining shortly. But it seems like I've gone too far without praying. Let me go and have a word of prayer. Pray for my brother's ministry, for his home, health, safety, protection, and also for my own ministry and all the listeners. Lord Jesus, at this time, we lift up our voice in unison and coming to your throne because of your promises. When you said, "Come to the throne of grace boldly to obtain mercy and find grace in time of need," and truly we are needy people, Lord Jesus. I've been alluding to this fact. The reason to change my message prompted me. I've been plagued by this situation myself, and I have no doubt my brothers and sisters within the sound of my voice listening to me, possibly they have experienced such a thing. So I pray that you give them needed attentiveness to pay close attention to what's about to come later on. And so as we lift up our voice, collectively and individually, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you hear us, what we are saying. I know you are, by your omnipresent, you are residing within us. Matter of fact, you are with us even now. And so at this time, I lift up my brother's ministry before your throne, Pastor Brown. Just bless this man of God for his kind heart and his zeal for your work, how he's trying to reach out as many he can before that trumpet sound, or before you take him up. And I pray now all of this in your name, in whose name we pray, the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. So I'm hoping you stay with that text. Let me go to remind you what's going on, why Paul, as I alluded earlier, himself somewhat being plagued with this. So he's writing to the church of Ephesus, next to Church of Corinth. Corinthians, they were known for their drinking and their gluttonous activity. Matter of fact, if you read both First and Second Corinthians, not very many positive word is coming from Paul addressing them. Church of Ephesus was not any better. We know what the Lord in Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4, he addressed for lack of love, and he told them that if they don't correct themselves, he's going to come and remove their candlestick. And so anyway, Paul is concerned. Let me draw your attention now. I'm hoping you're still there in chapter 4 of Book of Ephesians. First, he reminds them now from verses 11 through 13. And I hope you have your Bible with you and following me. And I'm always using King James in order to stay on the same page. You probably understand or follow me better if you have King James. If not, doesn't matter. That's okay. Still, God's word is effective, sharper than two-edged sword. So Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. He's telling him, so I've given you this, you missed it. How do we know they missed it? Look verse 20. Look up verse 20. But he have not so learned Christ. Paul is saying, what happened? What happened? Seemed like missed it. You did not learn Christ. God has assigned you teachers, preachers, evangelists, pastors to perfect you, but you have missed it. Now, what's the problem here? What's the problem here? We're going to approach this in four ways. We're going to approach this in four ways. We're going to see the things that we need to remember. Paul is trying to bring to their remembrance. I'm trying to do the same thing tonight. Paul is trying. So first, we're going to approach in ways number one, things that to remember, things to repent, and then things to resist, and then things to renew. So that would be the basic, pretty much the gist of my outline. I'll go over it. First, things that to remember. We need to remember, Paul is trying to tell him that your body is temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said you have forgotten this because, matter of fact, we read from 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul himself is saying this. What? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is temple of God? or temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, and which you have of God, I should say, and are not your own. Paul is saying, why would you allow such a thing? Because if you read further in verse 27, watch what he is telling them. Neither give place to the devil. I guess they were doing it. Paul himself, to some extent, was plagued with it. We are today, I assure you, some of our lethargicness, lukewarmness, some of our difficulties within home, within our ministry, even our sicknesses could be that we are giving room to the devil, and we need to stop that. So Paul is saying then, knowing not that your body is a temple of Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So here we see that what things to remember is that we need to remember that our body is the temple of Holy Spirit, temple of God. And we should not allow any bitterness, clamor, malice, evil speaking come out of our mouth. As I pointed out, Satan it wants to destroy, to kill, to steal. And we know that he's after believers, and the more you do, and the more he's after you, so you need to be on guard. You need to saturate your heart, your mind with the word of God. So we need to remember that. Now, what else do we have here? Let's continue. And as I was pointing out, Satan steals. Satan kills. Satan destroys. And a person that steals a pencil, 15-cent pencil, it's been proven that later on the same person might steal $15,000 payroll. So there is no, starts off with something small, but then it leads to something much bigger. And you might be thinking, well, I really haven't stolen anything. How about your tithe and offering? Malachi 3 verse 8 says that, will a man rob God? Have you been unfaithful in your tithe and offering? So it could be anything. Do you recall from Luke 16 verse 10? Luke 16 verse 10, we read that the steward, that he was faithful in the, let me go ahead and bring that verse up to not to misquote it, to do justice to the word of God. I see here my time is catching up with me, but let's turn to Luke chapter 16 verse 10, and I'm speaking of right now of being dishonest with the work of God in our tithe and offering, in our own personal life. It doesn't have to be something so big, but Satan, that's all he needs to creep in. Satan needs a small crack to enter in your heart and try to magnify it. As I pointed out, a person might say, well, it was only 15-cent pencil I took from my from the office. But I assure you, it's going to escalate. Let me read that verse again and make a point about honesty. Luke 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Now, pay close attention to the latter part of this. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now, he did not say that he is unjust maybe he's also unjust in much. No, he said he that is unjust least is also unjust in much. Not maybe, just because it's least, maybe he's also unjust. No, he is. If he's least, if he's 15 cents pencil, this is going to turn out to be $15,000 payroll or something else. Once again, how about God's work and so on? No. Part two of my outline, the things that we need to repent, the repentance. Let's go back to Ephesians. I'll be closing shortly. Seems like I got only 5 more minutes left. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Now we know things to remember. Is that our body is temple of God. We know how crafty Satan is. Now, things to repent, then we need to repentance. Let's go to verse 22. Paul is saying now, you need to confess that sin, and you know that you cannot do it yourself. You need to claim Lord's blood to chase Satan out. Verse 22, that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He's saying that before you came to Christ, you were doing things like this. But if you're doing it now, you need to repent. So part two, things to repent, is that you yourself is the only one knows that where you're falling, where your shortcomings coming from. So therefore, you need to repent. Then later on, we read that things to resist. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Resist him, attack him. And once again, you cannot do it by your own power. If you tell him to leave your heart, he said, you allowed me, and I have a control. It's almost like having a 10-bedroom or small apartment complex, and you rent out one room to someone, and he or she turned out to be rowdy, the throwing wild parties, bringing drugs, doing drug dealing. So you ask her to leave. She says, no, I signed a contract. I have a contract with you to live here. You cannot do it. The only way you could remove him or her is by legal action. For us, our legal action is the blood of Christ. There is no way you could throw him out. There is no way. But then, earlier we were speaking of stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. You remember we talked about Satan being destroyer, killer, a stealer. Steal that boy's joy, his sanity, his family, his tranquility, his eternal salvation. He says, don't follow him. You're going to be doing the same thing. Now, the best part. Let me allude to the last part, and I got only seem like 2 more minutes or 3 more minutes left. Bitterness. He alludes to that bitterness. Bitterness starts from within, then starts smoldering like a piece of rag on fire, starts small, smoking gradually, then you keep adding fuel to it. Bitterness starts from within. And somebody hurts you, or you have animosity towards something that's supposed to have come to you, you did not come, you say that, feel that your rights have been violated, and you say, I deserve that, but I didn't get it. We deserve nothing. We deserve nothing, because anything we have is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So then you develop, let's follow that formula that Paul had given us. From bitterness goes to wrath, and wrath is, like I was pointing out, like a rag on fire, smoldering, but gradually you add to it anger. Anger starts blowing up, starts fire within you. The fire starts within you, and then it says leads to clamor. Clamor, which means speaking loud and yelling, and that leads to evil speaking. Then you say things that you regret, and you would have paid anything that you have to get it back, and you cannot do it. It's too late. It's too late. And then...
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Pastor Mike. Well, I'm about to run out of time, Pastor Mike. You know what? You are doing such a great, marvelous job with this message. I am going to have to do... We're going to have to do a part two to this message. So if you don't mind, because of my time has run out, we need to do part two of this message because it's a powerful message, and we do need to conclude this message. So what I'm going to ask you to do, Pastor Mike, if we could, I'm going to reschedule you another date so we can conclude this message because it needs to be concluded. We just ran out of time, but God knows exactly how to still get his word through, and so we're going to schedule you again for another date real soon so we can finish part two of this message on tonight. I just, if we had more time, we would have been able to conclude the message, but my time just ran out. So I do want to thank you, Pastor Mike, for coming on tonight, for being so faithful and coming on to bring this powerful, much-needed word on tonight for such a time as this. And so I thank you for sharing that word, and I thank you for the Lord. I thank God for connecting you and I. We're brothers in Christ now. We're just standing on the word. We're decreeing God's word, and we're preaching and teaching God's word through worldwide platforms. So we're just being vessels that God is using. So I thank God for our relationship now. And so you're my brother in Christ, and so I do look forward to having you on again. We're going to schedule you to come on again very soon so we can conclude part two of this message on tonight. Again, thank you for being my special guest on tonight, and God be willing, we're going to connect you, and we're going to reschedule you real, real soon. Continue to be blessed on tonight.
My privilege. God bless you, my brother. Keep up the good work.
God bless you, too. I will be talking to you later, Pastor Mike. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Good night. Bye.
Good night. Well, that was Pastor Mike from Colorado, just brought the word on tonight. We thank God for him. We were not able to conclude that message on tonight, but we will conclude that message as soon as we schedule him again. And in the very near future, I'm going to reschedule Pastor Mike so he can conclude this much-needed word on tonight. So we say thank you, worldwide listeners, for tuning in faithfully on tonight. This Saturday, we'll be Pastor Deacon Marvin Cox will be bringing the word on this coming Saturday. So continue to listen to this broadcast, and as we bring forth men and women of God that bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ. And we always close out in prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name. We come once again thanking you for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Pastor Mike bringing forth your word on tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that it's such a powerful word and that it's a much-needed word, that we're going to conclude him with part two of this message in a very near future so he can be able to conclude this message, that the listener will be able to continue to be blessed by it, that you will be glorified through it. So we just thank you for this opportunity, for this worldwide platform, for Pastor Mike and everything that you have set for his hands to do. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless him, continue to anoint his visions, continue to bless him and his family, his ministries that you are using him through, and everything that you are doing through him. Continue to bless it for your glory in Jesus' name. Continue to bless the listeners. And we pray, Lord, that this broadcast of the night was not in vain. And we just continue to give your name praise, glory, and honor, but because of who you are and all the people God has said, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Good night.